You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
So let's welcome our guests. I see Nigel Fegaro, who's the second vice president. I hope Adesh Dwaraka will be in. And, of course, guest Kerry Brooms, industrial relations officer, would be joining us. Stefan, let me see who's exactly on here. Hello? Where are they? Hello?
Good morning. Right. Good afternoon. Sorry. I'm Stuart Kiffin, Vice President.
All right. Nice. Anyone else is there?
Professor.
Hello?
Yes, Mr.
Yes, Nigel Fegaro, the second Vice President.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerry Brooms, industrial.
Nice, man. Beautiful. All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us. All right, so we're here to talk about, first, about the school violence with what our Minister of Education says. Dr. Dowlat says that school violence requires a national response. Do you find this to be, something wrong he said there? Or, are we taking it in the wrong context or what? What's the problem with it?
It's of your opinion that we need a national response. And we need not only a national, we need a multi-pronged response.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes,
you're a little in and out there. You had to check your
a silo, mm-hmm. in isolation. And although they may be getting some level of success, it is not throughout Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And teacher is of the opinion that we need to have this multi-pronged approach. But what has been the position of the Ministry of Education is that while we say a multi-pronged approach, that multi-pronged approach is not in effect. So, for example, if we look at the article the minister would have indicated, he says a multi-pronged approach, he would have spoken about parents, we would have spoken about stakeholders. I did not see the Ministry of Education involvement in that, apart from the National School Code of Conduct. So he said that they are not a part of this multi-pronged approach from giving a policy.
All right. For those of you all who just joined us, we have some representatives from Tutor. We're speaking about Dr. Dowlat's response, saying that school violence requires a national response. I always get this, the impression that there's always a pull and tug between the government and Tutor, and the Ministry of Education, when we all should be working hand in hand for the betterment of the children. Why is that?
Well, as far as I know, there is no pull and tug. We are willing to work with the Ministry of Education, and I will leave Mr. Brooks to share in whether or not we were consulted with the National School Code of Conduct revised.
Uh-huh.
Good afternoon again to you and your listeners. So, in the original iteration of the National School Code of Conduct, Shooter would have been heavily involved. Of ethics that would have preceded the National School Code of Conduct, and much of what is in our Tutor Code of Ethics was put into the National School's Code of Conduct. However, when the revision was done, guess who was left out? Tutor knew nothing of it, and one day before, you were invited to a launch, which would cause us to believe what you just said, that there's some kind of pulling on.
Mm-hmm.
Electing our member. And in terms of ensuring that educators are treated fairly, and believe it or not, one of the core principles of Tutor is professional development. And what we want in the end is really a better education system in Trinidad and Tobago. However, when we try to achieve this, there's not always agreement, which is normal. But what we don't have is a lot of consultation, and we've realized that over time, consultation is happening less.
All right, you got to check the connection. Now you're going in and out at times. Now, with where Tutor is concerned, I know you just said we need a better education system in Trinidad and Tobago. People have been saying for the longest while, yes, our education system, even down to the curriculum, how we teach our students, we're not grasping their attention. There needs to be some kind of revision into how we teach, what we teach, What does Tutor ever put forward anything to that extent to the Ministry of Education?
First of all, I guess it's the connection. I said that we are committed to ensuring a better education system in Trinidad and Tobago. That's why we do what we do. But in terms of we look at these scarce resources we have, and many times we raise issues, especially infrastructural issues, staffing issues. We are being told that money is the problem. However, if we want a better system, we must be willing to do what is necessary in order to have it. We can't simply pay lip service and then try to blame other factors that are beyond our control to say it's not happening. We must all put our backs into it to ensure that this is done. If there isn't enough money, then we need to sit, consult with each other, and find ways to make it work using the scarce resources.
Nice, man. You could call me, man. Call Base. We could give you some ideas of fundraisers and stuff. In terms of our schools, well, with the school violence, I know they put police officers in schools. Does this seem to be working, yes or no?
And that was another initiative that Twitter was not consulted on. I think just a couple of months before, in terms of the launch of this particular program, and Twitter would have shared their views in terms of who do these police officers report to, what would be their position within the school, Is it that a teacher can give a directive to a police officer to treat it a matter, or a principal within the school could give a directive? And we're still not too sure. Twitter would have asked for some terms of reference since that would have been July of 2025, when we had a stakeholder meeting with the Ministry of Education, and would have said, listen, let us see the terms of reference. Let us see how we can work together with that. We are now fast forward into 2026, almost a year after, and we are still waiting for that information so that we can look at what the partnership is all about. We can make recommendations. We can ensure that this is going to work for many, many years, and they could simply speak with the police officers and whatnot, and the officials and the Ministry of Education, and make recommendation by saying, listen, this strategy would have been tried before, so that we can ensure some level of success with that initiative. However, as Mr. Brooms would have indicated, the consultation is not there, and that is one of the major issues that we have.
I would also like to add on this same topic as well, too. So we saw where the Ministry of Education would have made a trust to put the policing in schools, However, though, there are systems that were already in place within the school, which is through student support services, where we would have citizens now who would look after the emotion of September 2025. So they are taking away system that has been in the school system for a very long time, and now replacing them with police officers. Now, I'm not saying that I'm a not the multi-pronged approach. Obviously, the school student support services division is needed. And that's something that I think that the Ministry of Education at this point is neglecting. Yeah, so I just wanted to add that to the conversation as well.
And let me throw in two words. We have proactive, we have reactive, we have preventative.
Let's bring in our industrial...
In terms of putting...
Yeah.
In schools. Yeah, but what about the proactive? There is a reason for the behavior. And yes, we are talking about the parents. But the truth is, we can't get into the homes. We can only do what we can do when we have these children in front of us. And we must provide that school environment that will be a countervailing force to whatever they may be experiencing at home or in their communities. And if we don't have that support, with student support services that children can go and talk, because you know, especially for boys, I mean, let's be real, we are not socialized to talk about how we feel. We are socialized to act it out. to cuff somebody in the face or something of the sort. But when we remove for these boys and these students to talk about what is really bothering them, to give them then of course we'll need police in schools because they will act out.
Right. But this violence in school. I mean, I've been watching this and this is something I have seen coming like 10, I've been talking about this like 10, 15 years now, and me and many others on radio, and it's coming to pass as something you could have seen. Ever since, a lot of this might sound a little old school, but ever since corporal punishment was taken out of school, the power was taken away from the teacher. Some might say that old school, you can't think children know it, this, that, but I mean, when I used to go to school in my time, that's what had kept us in line. We had respect for teachers. Also, I think something that, I'm glad that tutor is here. Why do we have so many female teachers in schools? You all don't find that the percentage. Is it that only because women are lining up to be teachers? But what happened to the male teachers? I mean, the real manly men. When I was going to school, we had teachers who were 6 feet tall, men. Like, you couldn't make a note. You couldn't jump out yourself. Why are there so many female teachers in our nation schools, especially with boys?
Well, females are usually nurturers.
Oh, okay.
So they are more attracted to teaching.
Mm-hmm. So that is the excuse? I mean, so what about, so men?
Me as well.
Men aren't.
The salary per teacher, but minor family. I want you to understand that perspective as well.
The salary of a teacher.
Some years ago.
Yeah.
The salary of a teacher couldn't take care of a family.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't appealing to men.
Mm-hmm.
And please understand. So I had the pleasure, I said pleasure, of teaching an infant class. And I am sure I don't ever want that experience again.
Mm-hmm.
Because these children, and sometimes they call it daddy by mistake. And you need to do everything for them. For many men, that is a nightmare. So they don't want that. So you hear a lot of men saying they prefer secondary school. They don't want to teach in primary schools and so on. So teaching in many ways is not attractive to men, even though we need men in teaching.
Okay, so how do we make, how can we make teaching attractive to men?
Programs.
But how can we, but I exactly. guess today, years ago, there were many male teachers in school, so how come it was attractive back then and it's not attractive now? There were many male...
numbers were never... The teaching was always predominantly female.
Nah, man. I went to Rosary Boys and most of my teachers were male.
Has always been predominantly female.
Well, at least it was equally shared, but now it's like, I would say, now it's like 75% female. Right? It's ridiculous. And even some of the male teachers, you have like, I don't know, let me say that now. But you know, it's not even at all.
It's not even at all.
I mean, so what can we do to make, teaching more attractive to men? What can be done? Because you need that.
We lost it for a moment.
Yeah. And so what can we do to make teaching more attractive to men? What can be done? Anything?
I will tell you about a proposal that was made, I will not say by whom, that men be paid more to teach. And
more
you
than
can understand this day and age, how people not work very
well. Yeah, men getting paid more than women.
The cries of discrimination and so.
Yeah.
So, I know that the ministry tries as much as possible to put at least one male in schools, depending.
One?
You have to agree to go to a school.
Mm.
So, it is a difficult thing to fix. And maybe in dealing with children, we need to encourage boys and through their development to want to become teachers. Because the truth is, many persons do not want to become teachers. They want to do other things. So we need to fix the perception of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we need as a nation to plan for it, not just hope, but we need to put things in place where more boys would want to become teachers when they grow.
Well, I remember we used to have prefects and stuff. Do you still have prefects in school? Or nobody wants to be a prefect
definitely.
Either?
Oh, still have that. Definitely. Hmm. But one of the things in terms of men in the service is that when we look, and this of course is a layman's perspective, and the layman's perspective is that many, many of the young men, you know, who come out of university or just come out of O-levels, A-levels and whatnot, and teaching might be an option. They look at what is happening. They look at the violence and they look at the disrespect offered to teachers. And they say, listen, if I get in there, you know, it's going to be a difficult thing because I may not be able to tolerate that level of respect, that disrespect. And that is one of the things that is preventing them from joining the profession as well, because they see it as they may lose their behavior, they may lose themselves, and of course it will result in their termination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes us about a particular type of temper.
That they need to look at. Also,
What's that? Say again, please.
I was saying that it takes a dip. Yeah, we keep losing each other because the connection on your end is, probably a little bad. I know that it takes a different type of temperament, yeah, to be a teacher. For example, I know to myself, I cannot be a teacher with them kind of children that have there. I know that because my temper, I just can't even deal with grown people, much less children. I not that one we are told. Children are supposed to be a certain. But if you're small and stuff like that, but from the time I talk to you once, I talk to you twice, I not talking to you a third time. That ain't happening. You know? But the thing with police in schools, and this is something that I have been saying a long time, to put police in schools, but I was expecting, if this is how I would have done it, I would have had police trained to probably, a lot of people say police can't teach, but police trained to be teachers, to have a class. What do you think about a class with a police officer having an actual class in school? So they will have some kind of, at least you have that male figure somewhere in the school teaching where you have some kind of order.
Right, so one of the things that the tutor would have offered when we had that initial meeting, right, that was extremely late in terms of the policing in schools, we would have offered some suggestions to the Ministry of Education. One, putting police in schools positive, but those police officers need special training.
Right.
One, they need conflict resolution training. So they need to have special training in conflict resolution. They need special training in terms of mediation, right? And those are the things that we would have offered as suggestions to the ministry regarding the police in the school. Because as you quite rightly said, the police, their training is to treat with indiscipline and deviant behavior in a particular way. However, that cannot, if we look at the judge's rules and whatnot, that cannot be accepted in a school environment. So these police officers needed to have some special training in terms of mediation, in terms of management of students and whatnot, so that they will be properly equipped. We were given some level of assurance that those kinds of training were done, but we do not see that. So the policy is there, but the practice is not there. And that's part of the issues that we have with the factors affecting, you know, violence and discipline in the schools. We have some policies here, but the actual procedure and the practice is not there. And just to give an example, so we speak about the National School Code of Conduct Revised 2025. But if we look at the disciplinary matrix in that document, we are going to see that upon a third, a third offense, the major recommendation from the Ministry of Education would be SSSD referral. So they're talking about referring to student support services, right, and guidance officers, guidance counselors, and social workers. But my comrade just indicated that the contracts of these people have not been renewed. Those who want contracts have not been renewed. So whereas we have a policy, the practice varies from that particular policy. Thus, the systemic problems that we have with violence and discipline in the school.
Mm-hmm. What about them? We have a lot of teachers that are retired.
If you want to speak about the nationwide approach and whatnot, all these factors has to be in place.
Yeah. We have a lot of teachers who are retired that may probably want to get back into the service to offer their somehow expertise and maybe a different approach. You think we may have some of those people out there, retired teachers?
Right. So the retirees are one. So they retired at age 60, right? And yes, they may have experience possibly in pedagogy. They may have experience in the past in terms of dealing with indiscipline. But I'm sure that your audience will realize the level of indiscipline and whatnot, right? Are these people over 60 with little mental, with little medical issues and whatnot are able to treat? They might be able to work in an advisory role and whatnot, you know, to lend support and whatnot, but to actually put them on the front line is going to be a difficult, difficult situation.
Man, I know some 60-year-old teachers who buy at the place in check. Also, to get into some of these private schools, right? Yeah, they interview parents. Interview parents strictly. Watch me, it's like going for a loan. It's like you're going for a job. The only thing they don't do is probably give you a prostate exam. The way how they interview these parents, because they want to know, who am I letting into to my school? Your children are a representation of you. I want to meet you. But some, but with tutoring or with the public school system, the government schools, you know, is maybe a free fall. Anybody could come. I mean, some parents don't even come to PTA meetings. Do you think in having a more stricter interview system with parents so that you could know probably what you're dealing with, parent or parents? And even some of these schools want to ensure that his mother and the father, mother can show up by herself, his mother and father, they want to see, even though they're not together, they want to see a mother and a father there. Do you think something like this, a more stricter, you know, interviewing process with parents and teachers so that they could narrow down, okay, we have a, may have a little issue here, and we have a little issue, so you know what to look out for. I mean, and I might sound, some people may say, might sound like you're discriminating, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
That'll be a hard no.
A hard no.
A hard no. See, schools are basically, government schools are public good. There can be no discrimination as to who we take, regardless of whether the child has a learning disability, whether whether the socioeconomic standing of the parents is high or low. The only criteria that is, don't want to say the only one, the one that is most used is where you live.
Yeah, but I ain't saying to reject them, you know. I'm saying to put something in a database, at least have a database.
Let me tell you how bad it is. Schools are not even allowed to do entrance exams. You cannot, it is against ministry policy to give a child an exam to see how they perform academically before taking them into the school. You can do an exam after to see where they are and tailor the instruction, but you cannot do it before. So when it comes to government schools and even government assisted schools, once the state is paying, every citizen has a right. And let me tell you, even non-citizens now can get into schools.
Yeah.
Their requirement is there. Once their immigration status is where it's supposed to be, they get into these schools. So it gives an idea as to how much more difficult it is in the public school system to deal with issues. In a private school, as my school, my compound, I am paying my teachers. I can decide who comes in, but I can accept and reject. In the public school system, we can be setting the state up for many lawsuits if we simply say, well, we've interviewed these parents and we don't think this child is a good fit for the school.
All right.
That cannot happen legally.
Yeah, man. Crap, we'll smoke your pipe. But, all right. In terms of, like, what we are teaching these students, now, students know everybody have this, the phone, they're introducing this, the laptops in schools. I see they're bringing in these AI books. I don't know if you all were consulted on that as well, too. But a lot of these kids may be frustrated. I remember when I was going to school, every report book I would get is, he was very talkative in class. He was very talkative in class every single year. But look what I end up doing for a living. You know, but there was nobody to channel out to say, you see that boy talking there? That boy might want to be, you know, so. It's only when a gentleman by the name of Percy Parker Williams came to visit the school, I know, hey, I could be a radio announcer, but I wanted to be on radio, boy. You know? So maybe some of these children are frustrated because we are not channeling to what they want to do. There are things like streaming now. There are things like playing video games. You know, it have schools in Japan where it have a classroom with video games, children playing video games, because that is actually a job. A lot of these things we teach in these children now are not things of now and will not serve them in the future. And that is frustrating them as well.
So I want to totally agree with what you are saying, right? We cannot want to teach in the 21st century and have modern modern students that could that are equipped to go out there and equipped for the world and to bring our nation into a different forefront. But yet still, we turn around and we continue to do things the exact same way. So we would see the Ministry of Education right now on a trust giving laptops to Form 1 students, introducing these AI books. But this is the reality. The reality is that we don't, our schools are not ready for what they are doing. We don't have the resources in these schools. Teachers are frustrated with the system because, again, they are not being given the tools and requirements that they need to take education into the 21st century. We have schools that are falling apart, right? We have buildings that are not suited for persons to even be there on the compound. However, though, how can we expect learning to take place in these facilities? So you see what you are saying there? That, yeah, we totally agree with that. Tutors on board with that. Tutors doing the research as what's happening in first world countries and best practices and these different things. And we're willing to consult with the Ministry of Education. But for some reason, they don't consult with the association. And then let me tell you something too that I have a real pet peeve about. They put a lot of blame back on the educators. And the educators are the one functioning now with basically no resources whatsoever. And yet still, I will tell you this, we are producing some of the best students in the Caribbean with the resources that we have. So if it is that we are to really take education forward, and as my comrade said earlier, that is one of the major objectives of the association, to promote education in Trinidad and Tobago. If it is we are ready to take education into the 21st century, then let me say this, the Ministry of Education and the minister, even in his article, he spoke about the code of conduct doing so much for the education system and discipline. But the powers that be need to understand that paperwork and written words on paper will not take our education system where it needs to be. It's going to be with the teachers on the ground, and we need to provide that support for educators. So you see when they say tutor always at loggerheads with the ministry, and it seems that way, but we must look at the message that tutor is bringing forward. And the message every single time is that they have to do better for the educators. Because I personally say this, and it's a simple HR principle here. If you treat your employees well, your employees will take care of your customers. So the teachers are the employee and the customers are the children. So, but we don't want, the ministry don't want to treat the employees fairly. They don't want to give the employees their just due. However, though, they expect the customers to be taken care of. And because of the nature of our job, the customers are always taken care of to the detriment of the teachers. So I just want to add that to that question that you gave there as well, too.
All right, 6 minutes. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to chime in what my comrade, second VP, would have indicated. So we're talking about violence, we're talking about indiscipline and how we want to treat with it and whatnot. And as I would have indicated before, the policy and the practice varies. So just last week, correspondence coming from the Ministry of Education would have indicated to the national public that the national primary school games is no longer going to be held for whatever reason that they want to give.
Yeah.
So we're talking about indiscipline. We're talking about students who would have been preparing for these national games from their school level to their zonal level, and then, of course, at the national level. We want to talk about, Jeremy Richards, and we want to talk about all these athletes. This is where it begins. It begins at this level, right? I remember many, many years ago, there was a program in the Port-au-Spin district. Michelle Lee Aye was part of that program.
That's right.
Went on to represent Trinidad and Tobago at the national and international level. So we have now, we're talking about student discipline, right? And Tutor would have made a call last week. We would have made a call for the Ministry of Education to get on board, to get involved in that primary school national games, because that's a critical thing to the holistic development of our students. And to be honest, we have football, we have track and field, we have so many sporting disciplines occurring with our school. And I'll tell you something, a teacher can speak to one of these artists and say, listen, If it is that you do not behave, if you do not perform academically, you may not be a part of the program, and we might get that student to behave like an angel because that student wants to be part of that program. But when we take it away, right, what do we have? What do we leave for our educators to use as a leverage, right, to begin to treat with the violence and indiscipline? They don't want to hear about code of conduct. They don't want to hear about those things. They want to hear, listen, I can benefit from a program like this. And it goes back to the National Track and Field. It goes back to skill-based program within the primary and secondary school, right? So a proper agricultural program, a beauty culture program, an electronics program, an electrical installation program. And this is the direction that the Ministry of Education, we want to fix indiscipline, we want to fix deviancy, we need to look and see what the children of our nation want to do in terms of their education. Education is not CXE passes or SCA school. Education is holistic, and it would mean training at different levels for each different student. So that is where we need to look. We need to look at the root cause of the issue and begin to treat with it then.
All right, folks, let's take some, calls and some read some messages we got here. All right, very interesting program. We're talking to Tutor today.
Bass, I don't understand what is this beating around the bush has to do with these children, this the minority in schools, open a boot camp. They don't want to be in school. They don't want to behave themselves. Take them out of the school system and put them in a boot camp. What is the big thing? Why that law cannot be implemented? I don't know, nah? These people who call themselves educators and policymakers just, I don't know, they like a top in the mud, spinning and spinning.
Spinning mud, all right, the boot camp scenario. I mean, it will take some legislation, of course, to take somebody's child to put them against their will in a boot camp. Some of these parents mightn't want that kick up on that because some of these parents need to be in a boot camp themselves. You know, so what would it take to have that? Do you think that will help on a boot camp run by the soldiers down Tetron there?
You know, what's interesting, we used to have something called learning enhancement centers, where they would take out the children who were giving the most trouble, those who would have been suspended, and they would have kept the education going in terms of schoolwork, and they would have done some behavior modification as well. And it was a multi-pronged approach with not only the teachers, but of members from the Defense Force, the police and so on, and personnel from SSSD, because they wanted to take a multi-pronged approach to ensure that this child, when it was reintegrated back into the school, would not be the same child. But for some reason, that was discontinued. Let me talk about youth camps as well. Youth camps were an integral part of our education system, which would ensure that children who did not want to do traditional schoolwork, and I call it that because sometimes we think that those who did trade were dunce. That really wasn't the case, you know. And Einstein has a famous quote about trying to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree. And sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, we believe our philosophy of education in this country is that children learn differently, is that children need different types of instruction. Yet, we talk it, but when we do curriculum planning, it's absent. So, I know many persons who wasn't able, you know, long time ago, say, then take in the book.
Yeah.
But they would take a trade. Some of them are businessmen now with their own businesses because they took the trade route instead. And Comrade Dorica, we could talk a lot about tech block and how it is not being given the respect and the resources needed right now, and how it may be a big part of why we have violence in schools. A school like Shawanas North Secondary, the largest school in the Caribbean, the largest secondary school in the Caribbean, built specifically for trade. You know the problem we're having? No teachers, no resources. And in some schools, they're converting trade positions to to academic positions because they figure this is where we want to go. But some of these children need to work with their hands so they can burn out some of the energy rather than sit in a classroom looking at a board.
All right, so well said, well said. We're talking to Tutor today, representatives from Tutor about the violence in schools. Let's take a call right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Hello, good afternoon. I lost that one there on line one. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Bill. Hello.
Yeah, hey, fast shot. Make it fast.
Well said, well said. What's happening, eh? Like, I came from a family where my father was a retired principal. He went to university and thing, and he wanted everybody to write 5 GCs. But I was a father now. When I was small, any toy you buy for me, I scrapping it down. So I was a hands man, and I had to fight tooth and nail in order when I end up in the electrical field. I didn't like to do any. I was that kind of man, like to, I was like intuitive. Anything I want to explore. And I was a hands man, so I end up in the electrical field, but I had to fight them tooth and nail. And I know when I went to Nyansak and I choose the trading, and the way you do my after I come out of Nyansak there, he make me write all my GCNM still. All these CXC subjects, math, English, because we had done the crap. He make me write math, English, social study, everything. Just to satisfy himself. But I did it, and thank God, well, I mean, I had that way, but I had to fight. So a lot of these children is observing what is your natural ability and developing it. That's what we're missing right now. Unless we don't turn our learning system into something like that, we're going to continue going where we're going in our circle.
I hear you, fast track. Yeah, man, yeah. I hear. Look at this. This young man who came down here the other day, right? He's doing the Caribbean tour. I show speed, right? He started off just being on his phone on Instagram and TikTok and thinking about it. He said, well, what the hell are you doing on the phone? This young man is a millionaire now at 25, 26 years old. A multi-millionaire, right? We need to tap into these things to teach our children. You all are not reaching the children. You're not talking their language. You're not talking their language. We are failing our children by not... We're talking at them. We're not talking to them. You know? We're in 1962 still. Sad. All right. Good afternoon, Bass. What does he mean when he said treat employees well? Teachers are paid quite well while parents struggle to make ends meet. I have always said that teachers should be the highest paid, just like our politicians and all the perks. But are teachers paid well? So.
Paid well.
Huh? Well is relative.
Well is relative.
Because, and let me explain. Uh-huh. We negotiate salaries based on the external labor market, right? And we are not at market. So while I will agree that we may be paid better than civil servants, please look at the responsibility a teacher has. When we have those 25, 30 odd lives in front of us and we are responsible for them, that responsibility is not the same as somebody who deals with papers. We are responsible for lives. And teachers, just like everybody else, we still have to pay the increased NIS. We still have to pay, we are having with fuel prices, we still have to deal with high grocery prices. And many teachers, you'll be surprised to know, still have a lot of financial issues. So well is relative. We may be better paid than some civil servants, but we are certainly not paid as well paid as some other persons who are in managerial positions or high public office. Yet still, our responsibility in some instances may rival what they do.
Yeah, and I also want to add, you see, and I specifically didn't speak about the salary when I said support the teachers, because it's so much more than just the salary, so much more than that the teachers need support for within the classroom. We are speaking about here having a very intriguing discussion about, you know, education and taking education in a different format and reaching the children where we need to reach the children. But how can we reach those children if the school system itself and the infrastructure is not there and those things are not put in place? That's a big part of the support system that we need for our educators. All right. But you see, we tend to speak about the salary And we tend to make that the basis of the conversation. And when we do that, then we don't think about how do we push education forward. So it's very important that we look at the system holistically and not just tie in one simple part, then to throw educators under the bus.
And just to add to what Comrade Bruce and Comrade Figaro would have mentioned, we need to look at the empathetic side of teachers, because I'm certain that many primary school teachers in Trinidad and Tobago, right, they take off from that same salary that we are speaking about.
Right.
We take that to buy pencils, sharpeners, erasers, resources for the class in terms of what they have to do, as well as items for the children, so that we can create the best possible teaching learning experiences within the classroom. Because it would be unfair. It would be unfair if 10 students can afford this, and then we have to ensure that we cover the entire classroom. So we provide relevant resources, and we do that coming from our little salary that we get, and we ensure that everybody's treated equitably within the classroom. And those things possibly are not mentioned. We talk about different things, but that is the reality of what is happening. Both my comrades would have spoken about the starved resources in many, many of our schools.
I've heard instances where teachers have to buy toilet paper and all. Toilet paper, not the toilet paper.
That's a daily.
That's a daily basis.
And will you be surprised to know that in a certain school in Port of Spain, that people don't pay much attention to, because they feel, well, it's in a certain area, that those teachers get together every year to buy uniforms for certain students because of the area in which the school is located and the area from which the children come? These teachers, who have their own expenses, put up every single term to make sure that shoes are bought, bags are bought, uniforms are bought. But that doesn't make the news, so people feel that teachers are rich and increased, and we just have a lot of money to spend, but that's really not the case.
Yeah, all right, man. It's all going juicy. All right, let me just take a break, fellas, and we're coming back. Right, we're coming.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
All right, man, we see if we could keep our friends some tutor about the next 10, 15 minutes. Some messages coming in. Let me just play them here.
Basically, this is a thing. You know, people are saying, put the children in boot camp, right? Take them out and put them in a boot camp. You know, if the government really do that, weed out the bad seeds and put them in a boot camp. You know, the first thing you hear, the opposition come out and say, is discrimination against the children. They will come for something like that, come to something like that. They're discriminating a certain group of children.
All right. I'm going to play our next one here.
Yeah, Beast. Allison there, I guess, they. He only seeking teachers' interest here, the price he talking about for this and for that.
Well, his tutor.
But then again, they're not seeking the children's interest, you know, for the longest while. These schools have not been provided with aids. These children cannot go to school unless they have an aid. Me and he talking nothing about that. He talking about himself and his group. Not seeking the interest of the children and them. And I sure he know about that.
What, I had to go to school with an aide? What are teachers? What is that aide? What are you talking about? Anybody know what you're talking about?
Right,
there?
So I just want to chime in terms of what the caller would have mentioned. And of course, we don't agree with the opinion shared by the caller, because Twitter has been on record within the last couple of years fighting the Ministry of Education to get student support services. And he's speaking about aides. The aides is special education and special needs aides. And we have been fighting with the Ministry of Education to get relevant support for students within the mainstream education and that relevant support. And I'll give you the example. So we have students who are hearing impaired within this mainstream. And what we do is that we have been fighting to get the Ministry of Education to get to SSSD with Student Support Division to provide these aids so that they can get the relevant assistance within the classroom. We have also done that with students who are visually impaired in getting the aid, and not only getting the aid, but getting the aid to teach those children the JAWS program so that they will be equipped so that they can become self-sufficient going into the future. Within the last year, Twitter has been fighting to ensure that we get aid for special needs children, those affected with autism and on the spectrum, those affected with ADHD and whatnot. And we have been getting those people. But of course, it's a fight. So the fight by the caller is not with the association, but to get the ministry to provide the relevant supports there. And we have been on record as calling out the Ministry of Education to provide those those support. And that is why Corbin Brooks, what I mentioned earlier on, if it is that we want to go down and a change in the direction to deal with those things, we need to properly equip Student Support Services Division, SSSC Division, with those relevant assistance so that the children can benefit in a holistic way.
So let me add, this comes down to contract renewals, right? And we spoke about this earlier. So the learning support, the learning support specialists, the student aides, they are contract workers. And those contracts have not been renewed. Social workers' contracts have not been renewed. BOA's contracts have not been renewed. So there's a pattern. They are not renewing contracts. And I understand the parents' frustration because it suggests that he has a child who needs that learning support. And if the child is not getting it, and if the child isn't getting it, you see, when you have children with special needs, they need special instruction. That's why they're called children with special needs. They need special instruction, they need special support. And if they don't get the special instruction or the special support, then they will not thrive. As a matter of fact, they may regress. So I understand daddy's pain. I understand his frustration, but we don't have the ability to hire them. But we have been advocating for the government to do what they are supposed to do and renew the contracts of those persons.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good afternoon, Base. We always play the blame game and make excuses, but do these children want an education? If they are to indulge in negative things, teachers are there to teach. You all want teachers to do everything for those children? Don't you see that they just want to be wicked? Right? Take out those that are given all the trouble and put them together and let them fight. Okay. No, man, you can't say that. You can't say that. Teachers, handsomely or otherwise, are paid to teach children and teach them well. What some people don't understand or want to understand, teachers themselves, outside of their teaching abilities, they have to enhance their skills other than teaching in dealing with children's issues, be it home issues, family issues, or children's personal issues, and a host of other issues. Let's appreciate our teachers because they have to multitask beyond their own boundaries in dealing with today's children. Coming from a parent. Yeah. All right, so...
Just to add, and coming out, you know, from the comment by the parent there, this is one of the things that the association has been advocating for as well, because coming out of that, a lot of teachers are under pressure. And this is, when we talk about pressure, we are talking about mental. And as a result of that, we have to get relevant support from EAP, the Employee Assistance Program. And as of last year, that program has been discontinued by the Ministry of Education. The association has been on record having to call out the Minister of Education and whatnot to reinstate that, so that we as teachers and educators can also get that relevant mental support there, so that we can go and do and create the best teaching learning experiences for the children within the classroom. Unfortunately, that program has not been instituted or re-established as indicated by the Honorable Minister of Education and Parliament. Checks by the association to Ellen Associates, the provider, indicate that program has not been reinstituted for teachers. And that's a critical aspect that are often neglected for the education system in terms of the educators. So we need to get that back so that teachers could be well prepared to go and deal with those kinds of situations that your caller sort of mentioned a short while ago.
All right. Let's have two more calls in here. Let me try this one. Hello. All right. Line two. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, BS brother.
Mm-hmm.
The special aid, what is the quantum to tutor that they can have? The quantum of wrong trying to be go with the aids that won't, their contracts won't renew. You know, I'm now hearing that for the first time. And then the tutor now spoke about another assistance that was not contract, that was not rehired or reinstated. So I must say I empathize with Ricky with the disabled child, and hope that they get back those aids there so Ricky and people like me and Ricky and his children can be assisted. But that's how it goes. A sad day in Trinidad. Sad, sad day.
Right, so back to these aids. Tell us about these aids that were not reinstated.
Well,
Well, you see, as mentioned before, the aides sit in the classroom with the particular child that they are assigned to, along with the teacher. So the teacher teaches the general class, and the aide is specific to this child to help them understand the work, to give them the special attention they need, to help them to be able to learn. So imagine a child without an aide, and you already not understanding like the other children. You feel lost. That child will feel lost. That child will not know what to do. And when children don't feel engaged, what happens next? They become disruptive. So this is not only affecting the parent, it's not only affecting the child, it's affecting the entire class. Because if that child, I don't know how much experience you've had with children with learning disabilities, they can sometimes be very disruptive if they are not engaged. And I want to make a plug for proper relationships with between teachers and children, that if children feel that you care about them, you get them to learn better. If children feel that you care about them, you get them to perform, to do more, to behave in a certain way. So we are talking about violence. I'm truly saddened by what happened to the alderman. That should not happen to anybody. But if the right teacher had stepped in, no physical interaction would have been needed. A teacher who has the respect of the children can simply say, stop it, and children will behave, students will behave. However, when we don't have those relationships existing, for whatever reason, because I'm not going to sit here and say all teachers are, you know, do all the right things all the time, but they are still in the school. I mean, the EAP is one part of it. However, if you have teachers with the relationship with the children, violence is something that can be curtailed. And it is not that we encourage our members to run in and try to part fights. That can be very dangerous. However, because teachers act en loco parentis, or in place of the parent, that parental instinct kicks in automatically and then go to try to stop something. So we need to look at what the teacher has to deal with in terms of the class, the support. We need to look at what the children need and the ability of the teacher and the employer to provide what is needed for the children. So, and mind you, when the child's performance is not good at the end of the term, guess who gets the blame? Not the state for not providing the learning support assistance, you know. The teacher gets the blame for not teaching the child. And sometimes even the parent is upset, missing, do nothing for the term, say do nothing for the term, when it is really the culmination of a number of factors that caused the child not to be able to get instruction that was tailored for him.
Well, boy, I don't know what teacher in their right mind would have seen, you know, that kind of fight with them students that jump in that, I've tried apart that, because boy, and these girls, you know, the sad thing, you're seeing girls, you're seeing more girls fighting than boys. I remember boys used to be fighting, but more girls are fighting than boys. I mean, that is something very, you know, that is something, boy, I don't even know what word to use.
Well, something is wrong. Maybe a little cheeky here. I wonder if the ministry has those statistics. Because what the ministry has been doing in the recent past is just gathering data, and we don't know what they're doing with the data. It is not shared anywhere that we know of that they could give these statistics, and more importantly, what is the plan? So you gather data, you look at trends, and then of course you find ways to fix the problems that have been identified. We seem to be stuck in the gathering data phase, because we don't know what the trends are, and we certainly don't know what is the plan to deal with things like violence in schools.
Mm-hmm. All right, just one more base. I go to my child's PTA meetings. Why can't the school demand all parents be present at the meetings? It's the same parents who always help out the school. The same parents show up at the meetings, and when needed, you know, only those parents are present. So isn't this, I mean, it have no penalty for not going to PTA meetings. That shows that you're interested in your child's well-being. What's going on with the school? at all. So parents don't show up to the PTA meeting, never, there's nothing. No consequence of that.
We still live in a democratic country, and that's the point. So what you want to do is try to get the parents interested in their child's education. However, despite your best efforts, that may not happen. I can speak about times I would have gone home by parents, I've gone to their business places to find them to have a conversation because, you know, you needed to talk to them. You know, you saw something happen with the child. But the way how things are now, you understand that you could roll up on a parent and get what you didn't expect to get, right? So you stay in the relative safety of the school and you invite them to come to you. And it is their choice, because everybody's got freedom of choice. It is their choice whether they want to come or not. You can try to use moral suasion, but in terms of mandating it, I don't know that that will work at all.
All right, fellas. Well, I mean, boy, it's sad to say. Sometimes you see things in the future. Like I said, there's something I've been talking about for 15 years. And you know when I know we were really in problems at schools, boy? When I was away for a little while. When I came back, I saw they actually had to have a dress code for parents to come into our school. You know? And I say, well, you had to put a dress code and they tell parents how to dress to come to school. They even pick up their children in a school. These man, the security tell me, yeah, some of these mothers want to come in pom-pom shorts and thing and vest and nighty and all kind of thing to pick up the children. I say, what? Problems, boy. You need to nip things in the bud. Well, Tutor Boy, all the best. And we hope there's some communication between you and the Ministry of Education. And we hope you could get better things better for the betterment of our children. Because at the end of the day, they are to suffer, you know?
Maybe one more plug before you go, and we hope that the Minister of Finance is listening as well.
Mm.
We don't know if his email is working, if his WhatsApp is down, you know, but we are still waiting on a response as to when the backways will come. So, good afternoon, Mr. Minister.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. All right.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.